Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced and welcome to Web Dev 101. In today's episode, what I want to talk about is what is a URL URI? Okay, because a lot of times I think a lot of people take this for granted. Like, hey, I can just go into a browser and type in http www.google.com and a website pops up. But what is this string? That's like these sequence of letters that I type into the browser, http slash colon slash slash www.google.com. What is that? That's called a URL, universe resource location, or a URI, a universal resource identifier. The idea is it's a universal way, so it's a standard as to how do you express a thing you are looking for. Okay? So generally the way it works, because there's different parts that do tell any piece of software different things, okay? The first part of the URI is the protocol. So it means, hey, once you get to the thing that you're getting to, how are we going to read it? Like, how are we going to interpret it? Okay. So when we say HTTP, HTTPS, the idea is we're using the HTTP protocol, the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, which is a standard in the way the messages that go back and forth are read. Okay. So the idea is that, hey, I'm gonna ask for this resource. And the response I get on how to read that resource and how to use that resource is going to be in HTTP, in that standard. Okay. You only ever see HTTP, HTTPS when you're in the browser, because typically when it comes to web pages, it's all done through the HTTP standard. Okay. But when you're talking about like databases, like a Postgres or a MongoDB, you'll see URIs, except they'll be prefixed with like MongoDB or Postgres, because they're using a different protocol. So that first part is the protocol. It's always like the protocol name, colon, slash, slash. Okay, so the idea is like, hey, using this protocol, I need you to go talk to, and then the next piece is the host. That is the specific computer with which you will find this resource from. At its most basic thing, it's an IP address. So like, for example, the IP address for the computer that you are on is 127.0.01. Okay, and every computer out there has an IP address if they're connected to the internet. So they have this like unique number that would allow any other computer to be able to go and sit there and locate that computer and send it a message. Now, again, if you're your average internet user, you don't have what's called a static IP. You have a dynamic IP address, which means it changes all the time, which is why generally you wouldn't want to host a website on your computer, because the URL would change. Every time your IP address changes, your URL would change. It would be like 192. Whatever, 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 and then tomorrow will be something else. This is why people who host websites, you create an actual server where you want to deploy a website online with, you would pay for what's called a static IP address. So that way you have a set number that your computer can be reached at. Okay? But nowadays that's really less necessary because you can go get a server online from several different places, like whether it's like a Linode or an AWS or a DigitalOcean, you can get a computer that has a static IP address. And you don't have to think about it. Okay? But the thing is that most people don't memorize numbers. Like that would be a real pain for me to memorize, hey, this computer is located at 168.532 point whatever, whatever, whatever. So what happens is that we try to map those domain names to words. Okay? So we try to map the IP address to what we now know as domain names, which is just letters. Okay? So when you see google.com, like the computer really doesn't, no one knows what google.com is. What happens is that there's a separate server, a separate service that operates called DNS, the domain name service. And what DNS does, it has the mappings. It says, okay, hey, this text, this, google.com points to this IP address. Okay. And then that's how that part of the URL works. Okay. So basically when I say, hey, go to google.com or www.google.com, that's called the host. And the reason why we can use words is because there's a domain name service, DNS server somewhere, that knows, hey, this word matches up to this IP address. Okay, and that works. Okay, but notice like you can have like subdomains, right? This is where we start getting some important distinctions because basically, like, what domain, what host name points to what IP address is all going to be done at the DNS server. So if I go to www.google.com and then I would go to, let's say, like docs dot or drive dot google dot com, okay, they both point to a different IP address. They point to a different like application, But again, who controls what they point to is at the DNS level. Okay, so basically, if you ever had a domain name, like if you go to GoDaddy, you'll be able to control like the DNS records for your domain. So you can say, hey, like www.alexmerced.com points here, and you know, cheese.alexmerced.com points there. But that's called the host. So that part of the URL is the host. So that's like the domain and the subdomain. Okay, which really is again just a layer over the actual IP address of the computer that you're sending the message to. So you're just saying, hey, this protocol, HTTP, I want to send a message using this protocol to this computer. So then you'll see like google.com slash, and then it'll be like slash sheets, right? Okay, anything after that initial slash is referred to as the path. Okay, so the point of the path has nothing to do with DNS. DNS does not know what this whole path thing is. All it cares about is that host. Then it's going to send the message to the computer that that IP address points to. Now, once that computer receives a message, the assumption is that that computer is running software to handle that incoming request. Okay, that would be what's referred to as a server program. Okay, or a server. So a server is a program expecting this receive requests, kind of like a waiter. A waiter is a server. They serve you and they expect to receive an order, and then they get you back that order. So again, if there is no server on the other end, that's when you get like these Google errors. It says like, hey, cannot get a response. But assuming that there is a server, the server, generally the server framework, whatever your backend framework is able to parse out that last part of the URL, the path. So again, like slash presentation, slash sheets, slash whatever. And then that at the server level, that is how like the server determines, okay, based on this application says this is what you asked for. So basically the host says, okay, send the message to this computer. That computer takes a look at the path, the part after the host, the slash sheets, and says, okay, hey, this is the thing you're asking me for. Okay. And sometimes the server framework can support what's called a param. A param is not part of like the standard of how you write a URL. Okay, a param just means, hey, certain parts of the path should be treated as a value that we're going to grab and do stuff with it. Like again, if you've used Express or you've used any kind of routing, you're probably familiar with what params are. I'm not going to get too deep into that. But generally what happens is at the very end of the URI, you're allowed to send additional information that's not considered part of the path. So it's not considered part of the URL. So if I send the message to slash sheets, if I put a question mark at the very end, that's where the path ends. Okay, the question mark then begins something new referred to as the query string. And this allows me to send key value pairs to that URL inside the URL. So basically, I can send it additional information. And generally, the syntax is question mark, then key value, key equals value, and then ampersand another key value, ampersand another key value until you sent all the key values that you want. So for example, let's say I'm hitting an endpoint like, you know, slash alexmerced.com slash cheese. And the idea is that it's supposed to bring you up information on a particular cheese of your liking. Okay, maybe the way I want you to ask which cheese you're looking for is by adding a query at the end. So it would be like question mark cheese equals Gouda. Okay. And then my server would know to parse that query string and interpret it from there. Okay, but that's how a URI works. Okay, because it's important to understand that because it really helps to understand like how a lot of the software communicates with each other and what different programs really just need in order to like when you especially when you're using like ORMs and you're trying to connect to a database, if you understand how a connection string is formatted, it makes it a lot easier to think through like, okay, hey, what if they don't explicitly explain how to do something in the docs, how can I put together a connection string so I can connect to something? And again, essentially the pattern is always the protocol. The host, and a nice a little extra bonus thing with the host is that when you put in like www.whatever.com, you're allowed to put your username and password before it. So I could be like, you know, Alex colon and then a password at, then use the at symbol and then put the host. Okay, so it'd be like HTTP, you know, Alex colon password at www.alexmerced.com and then the slash the path and whatnot. So there's a lot of information you can put in that string if you know how it's formatted and how it works and how software generally. And again, at the end of the day, does that mean other pieces of software will automatically interpret it that way? No, but most will because it's a standard. And the idea is that the point of standards is that way we all have an agreed upon set of rules so that we don't have to think as hard. You know, even if you don't write me everything explicitly every time, if I know what the standards are, I can generally figure out how to use things. Okay, so it's important to kind of understand those standards. So I thought I'd take a moment to talk about, like, again, the URL, URI, like, what does it mean? And, you know, it's not just an address of a website, but we use URIs to identify the websites that we're accessing, but URIs can be used to identify accessing anything across many different types of software. It's just a standard format for writing a string that says, okay, this protocol, this computer, this thing at that computer, and here's some additional information. Okay, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. That helped clear up some stuff. If you guys enjoyed this, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. Again, make sure to subscribe to my other podcast. So there's my other Data Nation podcast. And then also at my job as a developer advocate for Dremio, I also host a show called Gnarly Data Waves, which you can also subscribe to on your favorite podcast app. Go check that out. A lot of really good presentations in the data world there. Otherwise, I'll see y'all later. Have a great day and enjoy.